Hello everybody, welcome to my podcast. This is Brian DeCuzzi on Books on Sports. I'll be speaking today about a book that I've read. It's titled Commitment by Didier Drogba. It's in his own handwriting, and he speaks on his life story, his autobiography. A few key things to take away from this is that I'll be reading reviews from other writers, so I can give you guys a quick synopsis of basically what happened. The first review will come from Sifio. It goes along the lines of this. Didier Drogba is arguably one of the Africa's most successful footballers. Pardon me, Messieurs Eto and Wei. In this tell-all book, Drogba shares his life story in a very readable narrative. Drogba was born in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, the son of a bank employee and a housewife. At age 5, Drogba moved to France to live with his uncle and aunt. This would be where his football roots would be forged. With an uncle who was a professional footballer, Drogba found inspiration and encouragement to pursue a career as a sportsman. He played some junior-level club football until his father, who had moved to France with the rest of the family, banned him from competitive sports. Submitting to the authority of his father, Drogba spent a year without playing football and focusing on improving his school grades. Fortuitously, the ban was lifted and he plunged straight back into the world of football, now more determined than ever to become a pro. PSG soon made an offer, but Drogba turned it down, instinctively realizing that something was off about it. This proved a good decision in the long run. After stints in Le Mans and French La Liga 2 and Guingamp in French La Liga 1, Drogba was eventually signed to Marseilles. He spent a full season at Marseilles with a Championship League game against Porto. He impressed their then manager Jose Mourinho. Wistfully vowed to sign Drogba one day. At the end of the first season at Marseilles, Drogba reluctantly moved to Chelsea, and the rest, as they say, is history. Drogba was to spend the next 8 years in London as Chelsea's tail's manic forward, winning every trophy along the way, eventually seeking a new adventure after the Championship League victory of 2012. Drogba moved to China and then later Turkey, after returning for another season at Chelsea in 2014. And all this, Drogba also tells of his family relationships with teammates. He is particularly fond of Florent, Malouda, Frank Lampard, and Jose Mourinho. Personal insecurities, turmoil in his native Ivory Coast, and his philanthropic efforts in Africa. Key takeaways. Hard work beats talent. Drogba admits repeatedly that he was not as gifted as his contemporaries, but had a strong will to win. This translated into an indefatigable work ethic. Compare yourself to others. Your time is your time. Don't compare yourself to others. Your time is your time. Early on, Drogba consistently mentioned his age mates, Thierry Henry and David Trezeguet, as having leapfrogged him in development. By all accounts, Drogba peaked later in his career, but finally the author seems at peace with it. In fact, this arguably aided the extraordinary longevity of his career. Treat people with respect and be a person of your word. The reason Drogba didn't want to sign to Chelsea initially was that he had already extended his contract with Marseilles. Even though the money was better at Chelsea, he would not have moved if he had not felt disrespected by the club president. What I liked about the book, the conversational style of writing. Interesting to have players' account of memorable moments in football history. I learned a great deal about the back rooms of football clubs. What I didn't like about the book, I felt like the writing was made up of sound bites and the typical things players say in most post-match interviews. To be fair, this may be due to the fact that English is not the author's first language. Drogba seems to vindicate himself a lot. Granted that this is This is his prerogative, but it gets a little annoying after a while. That said, he does certainly come across as a very genuine, kind, and compassionate man. I really enjoyed this book. The rating's probably not as high as it could have been because I care a little for Chelsea Football Club. You see, now I prefer Chelsea over all the other teams in the English Premier League. Chelsea is such a great team. They have great players, and Drogba was one of the players that I love to watch more than anything. My brother Sonny, he supported Man United. I, on the other hand, supported Chelsea as the rival, so we have that competitive edge between us that keeps us going, and we like to argue about who's a better player. I personally prefer Chelsea, he prefers Man United, and that's how that goes. Another reviewer, Vicky Hunt, states that, "I don't always dive, but when I do, it gets lost in translation. An open memoir on a career in English football. Didier Drogba's autobiography is a play-by-play of the many moments that defined his life on the pitch. It is an enjoyable read, providing honest glimpse into not only the game, but the mind of the professional striker. Didier alternates between moments of arrogance and defensiveness over mistakes. He can seem a bit emotional and even unprofessional at times, but just watching him play, you realize that it is not really arrogance, but simply a sense of confidence and an overriding passion for the sport that drives his emotionality in the game. Football is a sport, quote, football is a sport of emotion. We are not robots, we are human beings. We cannot separate out how we feel about ourselves or what is going on in our lives from what we do on the pitch. Well, I can't for sure. To play well, I need the affirmation of others that they want me to be there. Once I get that, I am capable of anything, and in return, I will give them everything. Watching fans perform the Coupe del Cal, you can see that he is well-loved. He definitely matured to be one of the highest-scoring strikers in the world, but it wasn't always that way in every season. He struggled to reach the point where he could perform consistently game after game. He is from Côte d'Ivoire originally, but went to live with his uncle in France, where he first began to play for Le Mans. Later, when he had his first real successful year with Marseilles, he was given the opportunity to go up to the Premier League with Chelsea. He was not happy about that at first because he took it that Marseilles did not have faith in him to repeat that previous year's results. To hear him describe some of his conversations with managers, you would think it must be a headache for him to deal with players on such levels of emotion. While telling the managers how to plan the plays, he tells them that it is their choice. I found that a bit surprising. Giving the manager permission to have it his way, okay. Moving right along, now that we have your permission, Didier, I can also imagine the other players on his team deciding they need to step up their game because they were about to have to hear him cry if they didn't win. He has been accused of diving quite a bit. Of course, I did not get the point why that matters when it seems diving is the norm in the game. The players seem to have the idea that they should just fall down holding any body part that has made contact with another player and wait for the referee to either grant the penalty or not. Let the ref sort it out and you may get the benefits. But he talked about when he was accused of diving at one game and a reporter asked him after the game if he dived. Misunderstanding the English, he responded, "Sometimes I dive." But went on to explain that some nights he plays quite well and is successful. The reporter only shared that single phrase and the soundbite was well over the media. He had only been in the country for a short time and was still learning the language. Didier never attended the football youth academies. He got into the game later. It seems that he struggled to reach the level of fitness that the other players had, and he admits this easily. Because of his drive and ambition to win and his lack of aerobic fitness, he received many injuries. This left him out of the game at many times he was needed in the earlier years. He would respond to the lack of faith in his game by insisting that he would win the game for them if they would build the play around him. He didn't seem to understand that just because he had faith in himself didn't mean the team would have faith in him. Usually it's best to show yourself for what you are rather than what you can be if given a chance. I'm not sure how well he learned this, but he definitely learned many good lessons from the experience. With success comes responsibility towards others. I am impressed with the fact that he insists on playing for himself, knowing that was the only way to do well and please others in the game. He always had personal goals for scoring. He worked a bit his own personal record, and he became an inspiration in his homeland, where he can work to bring peace to a country that has already had two civil wars in the century. He talks about his family in the book, too. He seems to be focused on family and has a great work ethic. He details in the book some of the things that he is doing to give back to his native country. Talent was never enough. Hard work would be talent. Overall, I enjoyed listening to the book in the audible format narrated by Stefan Cornard in an authentic sounding accent. It's almost hard to believe you are not listening to Didier himself. This was my stop in Côte d'Ivoire for my journey around the world in 80 books for 2019. My stop in Guinea, where I am reading a study for the mining industry in 5 key African countries, including Ghana. She seems very well versed and knows what she's talking about. Gave a lot of great explanations, quoted the author numerous times, and her point of view on who the player is shown in her writing. I really liked reading her quote. Didier was a player who didn't have a lot of aerobic fitness. He did dive a couple of times, and when he stated it, the media took off with that soundbite and said, you know, he's an actor when it comes to the pitch. This shouldn't be overlooked, but overall he's a great player, a family man, and a committed soccer player, playing for many countries. And not only London, China, Turkey, France. I appreciate the player as a whole. Another reviewer, Sam, by the name of Sam, goes on to write. I don't intend to read sports autobiographies, but I made an exception for commitment by autobiography by Didier Yves Drogba Tabil. The Ivorian is one of my favorite athletes ever, and my appreciation for the big man has only grown since he left Chelsea FC in 2015. The team, nay, the whole league, has missed his power, presence, and passion. He left a big hole in all our hearts. Didier's memoirs are a pleasant trip down glory lane for fans, and I don't think it's a must read. It suffers from all the flaws of the genre, being largely a blow-by-blow account of the author's life without much of the thesis or narrative. It's also missing the salacious gossip and contentious perspectives on events and personalities that usually drive these kinds of books. That's not what I'm looking for anyway, but it does mean the book is a little dry. What I am interested in are the resonant ideas and lessons from Didier Drogba's life, story, and significance, and there are a few contenders within commitment. The book begins with Drogba, the 5-year-old boy immigrating to France, where he struggled to fit in and excel. That experience profoundly shaped his life, and I can see now how that affected his career trajectory. He's on the pitch, antics, his dealings with managers and the press, and his endearing determination to not only win but to share that moment with those around him. His consistent desire for camaraderie and need for others' belief in him as a footballer and person all stemmed from that initial sense of isolation. He consistently was forever trying to break through and find family and be settled in time and place. a process that only really was completed following Chelsea's dramatic 2012 Championship League trophy. In an age of immigrant phobia, I appreciate this lesson on how migrants are emotionally disadvantaged as much as physically and economically, and how that can affect their progress in life. Empathy and respect ought to be sought, ought to be society's response to such a story. One other idea commitment made me reflect on is the role of luck in an individual's accomplishments. Someone once taught me that axons, that there are three factors in a person's success: talent, usually of the natural variety; hard work, discipline, determination, sacrifice, and persistence; luck, fair opportunity especially. Fulfill any two of these three factors and success is guaranteed. From a footballer's layman's perspective, it would seem like Drogba easily satisfied the first two of these requirements, being a supremely naturally gifted athlete with a unique set of attributes that were diligently honed for years before reaching the apex of the sport. Drogba himself, however, discounts the first factor almost entirely, suggesting that luck was the primary influence in his life's achievement. From meeting the right person at the right moments to not receiving an education in a football academy, which later stood him in a good stead, to avoiding career-condemning injuries, Drogba quite humbly confesses his good fortune in all things. He even credits his signature feats, the crucial goal in cup final and big games he is so reliably scored, to chance and fate. In the hand of God himself, in his own assessment, Drogba was just a divine agent performing the will of the Almighty on the pitch, who at the player's beseeching prayer gifted Drogba decisive opening after decisive opening. Thus, the adulation Drogba receives from myself and others is actually owed to God, the Christian God to be specific. I sense great wisdom in the attitude, not only in protecting Drogba from pride and hubris, but also in correctly perceiving the truth of our reality. How much do any of our successes actually belong to us? Because according to Drogba, without God's intervention along the way, he could easily have remained on the bench at Le Mans in Liga 2 and never stepped foot in Stamford Bridge, let alone Wembley, Stade Valdrome, or Alianza Arena. No amount of natural talent or effort could have accomplished what he did through God's providence. That, at least, is the man's own testimony. But even if you dispute Drogba's theological claims, his assertion that luck was on his side still ought to make you reflect. Are we in control of our lives, or are there other forces at play? If so, what are the nature of those forces? Are they ordinary or are they super ordinary? And if even the great ones who perform great deeds conclude the latter, then who are we who merely perform the petty and thus lack insight into the great to question that? As I say, this book is not a must-read, but nevertheless, I thank Drogba for these thought-provokings. They are the sweet cherries on top of the joyous cake already delivered across the years. My God, may God continue blessing you. Great champion in return. And I'll actually subscribe to this theory, as my analysis argues I am a determinist. I respect what Sam has written here. Drogba, the athlete, and the person are two different people. The athlete performed on the pitch with hard work and determination. The person was moved around so many times. He wasn't as lucky. You know, he's well traveled. He speaks the language, and he had a hard time growing up. You know, he was economically disadvantaged living in France as a migrant, so he wasn't given the chance to start off on with a football academy, but he still outperformed his rivals. As an athlete, you can respect that about him and learn a few lessons. Society should show empathy and respect, as the reviewer had said, to such a story, to who he is as a person. He appreciates God, and his faith is strong in his sports. He gives the best effort by far for any of the by any other athlete, in my opinion. Another reviewer, Andy Reagan, types, "I tried to remain neutral, having attended The Bridge for over 40 years. As to the quality of the book, but quite happy to give it 5 stars. Anyone, given the quality of the writing and the manner in which key dramatic moments unfold, most importantly, there is a clear picture of Didier, his value and attitudes. He shares the incredible journey from the low-key upbringing in Ivory Coast and various regions of France, sent to a cast of family members to improve his opportunity to superstardom. With sensitivity and intelligence, his charitable and humanitarian endeavors only add to the impressive portrait. The central sections are clearly great reading for Chelsea fans. The beauty and willpower of his score and contribution in 4 FA Cup finals, and of course in Munich, would be towering achievements to rival any sporting prowess. Didier's intervention both on and off the pitch for his homeland are also the stuff of legend, not least helping to defuse a civil war. Many players have shown immense levels of determination and fallen short in achieving so much of the major stages that ultimately it's only possible to conclude this is a very special man with a very special story to tell about conquering the odds on both personal and team stage. Some minor football inaccuracies: Chelsea's first trophy of the Ibrahimovic era was in 2005 rather than a year earlier, which in no way diminishes the whole. Playing for a team such as Chelsea while your home country, Ivory Coast, is suffering with a civil war, it really makes you think that, you know, like, you have to, as a player, you have to achieve more for your country, as you are the representation of the people back home. So Didier really showed a great immense level of professionalism and determination when playing for this team and representing his country, even though they were going through such a tough time. And that should be respected above all else as a player and as a key person in his home country. I'd like to thank you guys for listening in today. This is my review on Drogba, on Commitment by Didier Drogba. I hope my information has been insightful, and please keep following along. I love you guys. Thank you for listening, and I'll get back to you soon. All right, bye.